Welcome to session 97 of the Bible in a Year commentary. If you started the series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 7th of April. Today we'll be looking at 1 Kings 11 to 13 and Psalm 97. But so far, in 1st and 2nd Kings, we've read through Solomon's reign. David was old and dying. His son Adonijah seized on this weakness and set himself up as king. In response, David declared Solomon as king, thwarting Adonijah's attempt at the throne. David encouraged Solomon to be faithful and loyal to God, but then told him to kill all of his enemies. Solomon then killed his brother Adonijah, as well as Joab and others. He married an Egyptian woman, despite the fact that Deuteronomy 7 warns that intermarrying with other nations would lead them to worshipping foreign gods. It was looking bad for Solomon's reign, but then Solomon asked God for wisdom to rule well, and God blessed him with wisdom and wealth. We read the first example of Solomon using this wisdom as he judged rightly between two women claiming the same baby as their own. Solomon established order and structure to his kingdom. He appointed different leaders across Israel. We also read of how he became famous for his wisdom and how Israel began to flourish. Then Solomon started to build the temple for God, forming a trade deal with the king of Tyre. The temple was built along with Solomon's own house. Then yesterday we read as he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple and consecrated it to God. God met with Solomon a second time and warned him to remain faithful. We then read through an overview of Solomon's reign, which was marked with wisdom and flourishing, but also saw Solomon begin to hoard for himself and enslave remaining Canaanites to build his infrastructure. So let's jump in with today's reading, 1 Kings 11 to 13. We've referenced Deuteronomy 17 a few times. It tells how kings were not meant to hoard up for themselves many horses, lots of gold, and many wives. So far, we've seen Solomon acquire a lot of horses and a lot of golds. We now see him claiming for himself a lot of wives, 700 to be exact, with 300 concubines. And to make it worse, Solomon takes up a lot of foreign wives who then bring their foreign gods with them. Before long, Solomon is worshipping these gods of his different wives. He even set up places of worship for these other gods within Jerusalem. This obviously angers God, who has blessed Solomon abundantly. The only thing stopping God from taking the kingdom away from Solomon right there was his promise to David. So instead, he tells Solomon that he will take it away from his son. He will divide the kingdom into two, northern Israel and southern Judah. He will let Solomon's son lead the smaller kingdom of Judah and find someone else to lead the northern kingdom. So God begins to raise up people to cause Solomon problems. The first two, Hadad and Rezon, were both men who had been somehow affected by the actions of Solomon's father David. So God raises these men up to get revenge against Solomon for the actions of his father. The third person God raises up is Jeroboam. God sends the prophet Ahijah to Jeroboam to tell him that once Solomon dies, God is going to divide the kingdom into two and give the larger piece to Jeroboam. And just like the kings before him, God says to Jeroboam that if he's faithful and obedient, God will build up his family and secure his position as king. Solomon finds out about this and tries to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam escapes. And Solomon dies of old age, and his son Rehoboam takes his place. It's a sad ending to the reign of Solomon and the beginning of the divide of Israel. So now, Rehoboam is king, and the northern tribes of Israel come to him and ask him to be kinder to them than his father was. He sends them away for 3 days so he can think of how to respond. His father's old advisors recommend that he give them what they want, so that they are loyal to him. But God causes Rehoboam to listen to his younger friends, who tell him to be harsher to the people than his father, and lead with fear and control. Rehoboam tells the northern tribes he's going to make their life harder, and so they end up leaving. Rehoboam sends his taskmaster Adoram to take control of these northern tribes, and they stone him. Instead, they take Jeroboam and make him king, and now the kingdom is officially split into two, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. But Jeroboam almost immediately causes Israel to sin. Realizing that the temple is in Judah and that they now no longer have anyone to worship, he decides to do something about that. But he doesn't ask God what to do. Instead, he makes his own altars and idols to worship and tells the people to worship those. We then get perhaps one of the weirdest stories in the Bible. A young prophet comes to Jeroboam and points out that he has sinned and that God will punish him for it. Jeroboam reaches out to tell his men to seize him, but before he could, God strikes his hand with some withering disease. Realizing the authority of the young prophet, Jeroboam asks the young prophet to heal him, which he does. He then asks the young prophet to stay and eat a meal, but the young prophet tells Jeroboam that God has specifically told him not to stop anywhere to eat, but to go straight home. On the way home, an older prophet sees him and invites him to come stay with him. The younger prophet points out that God has told him not to stay anywhere, but to go straight home. The older prophet then lies, saying that God has told him specifically to invite the younger prophet in. So the younger prophet agrees. Then later, God sends a lion to kill the younger prophet for disobeying him, and the older prophet calls him out for disobeying God. It's very strange, but it's easily fixed. See, the younger prophet is actually called a man of God. This is to make him different from the older prophet, who was likely a false prophet as he was living in Israel where they were now worshipping other gods. So this story is about a young man who has heard clearly from God, but allows himself to be persuaded by others who are not from God to disobey what God has told him. That might take reading through a few times to get. The point is this, Israel is going to be guided by prophets going forward, and these prophets have to remain faithful to God. That's 1 Kings 11 to 13. Now let's look at Psalm 97. The psalm is not attributed to anyone and falls into the category of praise psalm. It's part of a small collection of psalms, Psalms 93 to 99, that focus on God as king. Here is a summary of the structure, but I would recommend checking out the written version of the commentary in the description to see the structure properly for yourself. We start with verses 1 to 5, the Lord reigns in power. Verses 6 to 9, he is above all other gods. And verse 10 to 12, hate evil and rejoice in God. The psalmist starts with the declaration that the Lord reigns. He reigns supreme in the clouds and storms. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his reign. He controls fire and lightning, and even great mountains must melt before him. The heavens themselves proclaim his righteousness and glory, so much so that anyone who worships anything else should be put to shame. The Lord is so much greater than all the other gods. Those other gods should be worshipping him. This is why the people of Jerusalem and Judah rejoice, because they know their God is greater than all other gods. And so the psalmist encourages those who love the Lord to hate evil. He is a God that preserves those who keep themselves holy and saves them from the wicked. He provides light to guide these righteous ones and joy to lift their heart. So rejoice in the Lord, stay righteous, and give thanks to God for his goodness. The psalm focuses on God's might and ability to defeat the other gods. No other holds the right to reign like he does. And so in response, we should pursue righteousness, for he is a God of righteousness.